Hello, listeners. Welcome to the Essentials of Healthy Living on Progressive Talk AM 1260, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I'm Dana Lake, your host for the next hour, and happy to tell you that we're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. and hope that you will join us. My co-host, Kevin Passaro, and I will be alternating shows dedicated to your health, diet, nutrition, lifestyle, and exercise. The show is streamed through myvillagegreen.com, and you can go on myvillagegreen.com and ask a lot of questions. You can ask the expert, you can look at frequently asked questions, and you can go to the website to get archives of the show. So today we've got quite a few things to discuss. First of all, it's Earth Day, so welcome to Earth Day. And it's also Autism Appreciation Month. This is Autism Month. We'll talk about that. And some news you can use on oral cancers and healthy snacks. We always have a few pieces of information for you. And we have a speaker. In fact, we have two guests, Mae Kessler and Dr. Russell Rosenbaum. And what we're going to talk about is rheumatology. We will talk about fibromyalgia and physical therapy solutions. So we hope that you'll stay with us for Dr. Russell Rosenberg and also Mae Kessler. But first, let's go back to Earth Day. Today is Earth Day, April 22nd. And we celebrate it on this day. It's celebrated on the equinox in other areas. And what is April 22nd? Well, this is close to mid-spring in the Northern Hemisphere and mid-autumn in the Southern Hemisphere. And most of you may not be aware that Earth Day's been with us since 1970, and that was really the real beginning push for the environmental movement. And it was founded by U.S. Senator Gaylord Nelson as an environmental teach-in. And that was the beginning. And it started out with a few countries and a few people, and we now have billions of participants all over the world. And I want you to also know about Village Green and Bethesda Green. We talk green all the time on the show. And Bethesda Green and Village Green have linked up. And Bethesda Green is on www.bethesdagreen.org. This is a wonderful organization. They have many exciting things happening, activities. They can teach you about going green. You can actually get a kilowatt meter loan program. So if you want to find out the culprits that you have in your house that are wasting electricity, you can borrow this kilowatt meter from Bethesda Green. And as I said, that's bethesdagreen.org. They also have home energy audits. This is a wonderful opportunity for you to find out from the experts where you're losing energy in your house. They've also started up the new Green Schools Working Group. There's so much information to share, and you should go on this website as well as myvillagegreen.com, where you can go into Going Green with Village Green. So again, welcome to Earth Day. It's also Autism Awareness Month, and this is a very, very important subject, and as many of the listeners know, we're very excited. My co-author Pam Compart and I are happy to announce that we have just released the second edition of our book called the Kid-Friendly ADHD and Autism Cookbook, The Ultimate Guide to the Gluten-Free, Casein-Free Diet. I just returned from the largest international organization and conference on the biomedical treatments for autism spectrum disorders. It was held in Atlanta. It's a 5-day conference. It includes professionals and parents, and it's chock full of information. If you want information on autism, go to autism.com. That's www.autism.com. And if you want information, you can also write me at danalake@aol.com or go on my website, which is my name, danalake.com. D-A-N-A-L-A-A-K-E, two A's in Lake. Now, a few little tidbits for you. There's actually a new way to detect oral cancer, and you might want to ask your dental hygienist and your dentist about this. It's a device called a VELSCOPE, V-E-L-S-C-O-P-E, and it emits a blue light and has a viewfinder with special little filters, and it can help dentists detect potentially cancerous oral tissues. So this is, they're picking up something that the eye may not pick up. The earlier oral cancer lesions are found and surgically removed, the higher the survival rate. Self-defense. Ask your dentist and dental hygienist for an examination with a VELSCOPE as part of your routine checkup. Let's talk a little bit about getting the best nutritional bang for your buck, and I think this is important information. People are getting a lot of empty calories when they're using pretzels and chips. We want to go with real foods, and we always talk to people about raw vegetables and fruits. Well, nuts and seeds are wonderful, wonderful source of nutrition. Almonds, for example, are very rich in fiber, vitamin E, and they have the healthy, what are called monounsaturated fats. Almonds are also widely known to help fight heart disease, and few people are aware that they contain more bone-building calcium than any other nuts. So almonds are favored, but really, the full variety of nuts and seeds are what you want to include. Also, beans. Beans are very important. They're a source of fiber and protein and B vitamins, and they're a package in them themselves. We need, as humans, protein, fat, and carbohydrate, and beans have the best of that, as do nuts. They have good proteins, good fiber, and good fatty acids. So recommended portion size, 1/2 cup, cooked or canned daily. And it's very inexpensive. Beans are inexpensive and good nutrition. Now, chard, it's a dark green leafy vegetable, and it's very low in calories but extremely high in fiber, loaded with antioxidants, the carotenoids, vitamin C, vitamin K, vitamin D and magnesium, necessary for bone health. And chard contains these antioxidants, lutein and zeaxanthin, and they help prevent eye disease. So when you think of eating, eat a lot of color. And the darker the color in the vegetables, the better. So you want to eat some beets and some dark greens and orange and reds in your vegetables and fruits. Eggs. Do not forget eggs. You hear a lot about this. They do not cause heart disease. In fact, eggs raise HDLs. They are a functional food. They are the best source of protein one can consume. In fact, the standard for protein is set on the protein breakdown, the amino acid breakdown in the protein of egg white. They also contain vitamin D, which is helpful, and many of them are high in omega-3 fatty acids and vitamin E. They also have some B12 and a little bit of iron. These important nutrients that are found in egg yolks also include cholesterol, and I bet you're not used to hearing that cholesterol is important. The cholesterol in the eggs is very important. We don't need to eat cholesterol. We make it, but we can consume it. And when you consume a hard-boiled or soft-boiled egg, there's no oxidation, no exposure to oxygen. And so that form of egg is the healthiest to eat. It's not oxidized cholesterol, as in scrambled or fried. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't use scrambled and fried. Please do. But eggs are good for you. And what's interesting to note, that as countries throughout the world increase their egg intake, cardiovascular disease goes down. And in this country particularly, we cut back on eggs at the very time that we also increased hydrogenated oils and fats, and heart disease went up. So eggs are not associated in any scientific studies as contributing to or causing heart disease. So enjoy them. I just want to remind you that you're listening to The Essentials of Healthy Living on Progressive Talk AM 1260. I'm Dana Lake. I'm your host. Please stay with us. We'll have two very interesting guests for the show today. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break. Hello, welcome back, listeners, to the Essentials of Healthy Living on Progressive Talk AM 1260, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. We are here, and I want to introduce you to Dr. Russell Rosenberg and May Kessler. We will be talking to them about some good subjects, fibromyalgia and physical therapy solutions. Welcome to the show, May and Dr. Rothenberg.
Yes,
hi. Dr. Rothenberg, R-O-T-H.
Yes, we've got you online here. So
okay,
good. We're all together. That's wonderful. And why don't each one of you tell our listeners briefly a little bit about your practice and how you can be reached?
Dr. Rothenberg?
Oh, okay. I'm an associate professor of medicine at George Washington Medical Center, but I'm in private practice, and I moved my practice 2 years ago to the Camelier Building out in Bethesda, and my office telephone number is 301-571-2273.
Okay, excellent. How about you, May?
Yes, I'm May Kessler. I'm both a physical therapist and a massage therapist, and when I also work in the Camelier Building in Bethesda, Maryland. My phone number is 301-602-3551, and I have a website, www.maykessler, K-E-S-L-E-R, that's one S, and M-A-Y, it's M-A-Y, like the month, K-E-S-L-E-R.com, and I also work in Chevy Chase, Maryland, and in Washington, D.C.
Well, thank you very much. First of all, I think it's important to let our patients know what a rheumatologist does. And we can start with you, Dr. Rothenberg, and then May, you can tell us more about the physical therapy. Mm-hmm. So, Dr. Rothenberg, let's tell the patients and our listeners about rheumatology.
Well, on one level, I'd like to say that a rheumatologist is a little similar to a musculoskeletal orthopedic doctor, except we don't do surgery. But that's, so we deal with a lot of joint dysfunction and arthritis, but we also deal with a number of autoimmune diseases such as systemic lupus and Sjogren's disease. And we have gotten interested in osteoporosis over time because that's also musculoskeletal. And finally, because a lot of our patients with rheumatoid arthritis and lupus have a condition called fibromyalgia, I have developed a subspecialty in fibromyalgia, which is a chronic pain and a dysfunctional problem, which we're going to be talking about today.
Well, I know that's important, especially since this is increasing both in the older population, as it always has, but also in younger populations, correct?
That is correct.
Yeah, that's sad. And do you see pediatric patients in your practice?
No, I don't see patients under the age of 16.
Okay. So, May, tell us a little bit about the physical therapy.
Well, as I'm a physical therapist and massage therapist, and I've been doing that work for 27 years, so I've become specialized in more the manual therapies and even more recently in treating people with fibromyalgia and other myofascial pain syndromes. So when a patient sees me, it's a little bit different than some other physical therapy kind of settings in that it's a one-on-one situation where we're in a closed private room so that we can work really focusing on what their particular needs are. And I'll first do a full evaluation and then look at their range of motion and their strength, but then more importantly, their posture, their alignment, and their agility. And then looking at where their muscle pain is, where their trigger points are or tender points, and any myofascial restrictions and joint restrictions that they might have.
Well, I know you integrate a lot of different therapies and movement therapies, massage, physical therapy, and I'm sure that's the key to your success. And Dr. Rothenberg, what about the fibromyalgia, myofascial pain? How do people know if they've got fibromyalgia? What are the signs?
Well, fibromyalgia is sort of taking off with patient awareness since we now have FDA-approved drugs for fibromyalgia. But for a lot of years, it was a very difficult diagnosis to make, and often, since I'm one of the regional experts in this, I have over 5,000 patients with fibromyalgia, you know, people would go to 8-10 doctors before they saw me. You know, they would come in with hundreds of pages of tests, you know, which were all normal. But the key is that there are various causes of fibromyalgia, and, for example, there's an infectious cause like Lyme disease, hepatitis C. There's a genetic form. May sees a lot of the patients with hyperextensible joint dysfunction that go on to myofascial pain and fibromyalgia. And as I said, some of my rheumatic disease patients started me off because they get secondary fibromyalgia. And so anybody who has widespread pain for over 3 months with specific tender points or very, very tender areas, which I call the don't touch me syndrome, should see a medical doctor or a doctor who specializes in fibromyalgia to get the diagnosis and get started in the proper treatment path.
Are people always aware of their tender points or trigger points? And could you please let us know where those are usually found?
Sure. A big problem is that there are most patients with fibromyalgia, even though they're supposedly chronic pain patients, don't even recognize they have pain when it's mild to moderate. And then they come in crisis when they have severe pain. And one of the big problems with fibromyalgia patients is they don't really know where their tender points are. As a matter of fact, I'm fascinated when I speak to health professionals who have fibromyalgia that I say, where does it hurt? You know, which muscle group? And they can't tell me, and I have to touch the areas, and they're shocked. So it's hard for the individual to know this. You need to go to a specialist who really can touch on these spots. But, you know, in general, when you notice that you've gone from localized, what we call myofascial pain, where this is what may and most physical therapists work with, you know, where there's tight muscles and soft tissue dysfunction and a lot of pain, when that, through a process in the brain called central sensitization, becomes more generalized, and then the sleep disturbance and the generalized pain and the chronic fatigue all seem to be coming more of a burden, and no other medical diagnosis is found, those people can strongly suggest they have fibromyalgia. Those are the types of patients that, you know, should see me or another specialist in that field.
And at that point, it's extremely debilitating. It interferes with every part of their life.
Yeah, that's true.
And I know that's an important part of your work. Tell us a little bit about the medicinal treatments of fibromyalgia and that there are new drugs, new medications for patients.
Right. The drugs that have been approved work on different pathways, and that's interesting, and a lot of doctors may not focus on that completely. Lyrica, which was the first FDA drug approved in 2007, works on certain substances called Substance P and other chemicals that transmit pain to the brain and process pain. And so those are drugs that work on that pathway. And those initially were called anti-seizure drugs.
Right.
But really, they're drugs that work specifically on pain fibers because they're not used in treatment of epilepsy very much. And then we have new drugs that are such as Cymbalta, which are NRI drugs. We had the old Prozac drugs that were SSRI drugs, but these are both serotonin and norepinephrine, two of the neurotransmitters in the brain, inhibitors. And so what they basically do is the same thing as when we get endorphins blocking pain when we run. They suppress the pain transmission in the brain. So using that combination in a patient with severe fibromyalgia is a very effective way to prevent them from going on narcotic pain medicines and to make them functional faster.
Well, they certainly do help. Is Neurontin used in these patients?
Neurontin was a precursor to Lyrica. Neurontin is called gabapentin, and Lyrica is called pregabalin. And it can be effective, especially for sleep. And for pain, the problem is it only works in the mild to moderate cases, but since it's a generic, and if it works for you, that's great. And there's only one really good NIH study that shows it's effective, but it has been shown to be effective, even though it's not what we call FDA approved. And that's an important concept, that, you know, a drug that is been shown in evidence-based studies to be effective, even if it's not FDA approved, you know, are used by doctors. Obviously, if we have an FDA approved drug, we'll try that first. But I should mention, since you know, we're talking about nutrition as well, that myofascial pain starts many times with nutritional deficiencies. Magnesium, vitamin D, iron, B12 have all been described in myofascial pain dysfunction. And one of the things that May does for me and other physical therapists is that if we can stop this soft tissue myofascial spasm at an early point, it doesn't develop the central sensitization in the brain and the generalized fibromyalgia, which is a more systemic problem. So both exercise, nutrition, and good physical function and good stretching are critical, you know, to the initial way to prevent localized pain problems from becoming more generalized, more disabling fibromyalgia situation.
Yes, Dr. Rothenberg, I remember when you gave your grand rounds, you talked about how when patients got initially injured, and if they didn't get good physical therapy or care for their injury, that was when, and then continued to have pain, that was when there was more of a chance of fibromyalgia developing.
Oh, that certainly is. What I'd like to do is take a quick break, because there's a lot to talk about, and I want to remind our listeners that you are listening to The Essentials of Healthy Living on Progressive Talk AM 1260 with Dr. Russell Rothenberg and May Kessler. So stay with us. We will be back right after this break. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to The Essentials of Healthy Living on Progressive Talk AM 1260, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary right here in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, your host for this hour, and we have been enjoying a wonderful conversation with May Kessler and Dr. Russell Rothenberg, and we're talking about fibromyalgia. We're discussing medicinal treatments, physical therapy, and there's a lot to physical therapy. We want to hear from May on that, and nutritional treatments. May, can you tell us a little bit more about what you do with the fibromyalgia patient?
Sure. Thank you, Dana. Well, as I said, first I would evaluate the person and see where they're tight, where they're loose, where their tender points are, where myofascial and joint restrictions might be, and where their pain is. It's different seeing a fibromyalgia patient, because by the time they have that, they're often weak and they haven't been exercising, because exercising hurts so much. And so it's hard for someone who's not trained to figure out that they do have restrictions. You have to look at the patient from where their restrictions are. So if they can, that they bend evenly, or that their shoulders move evenly, because some people have too much movement. And then their superficial muscles may be more lax or soft, but underneath the deep compensating muscles, such as the postural muscles and muscles that hold the core stability, are tight. And then the posture is compromised because things hurt, so they bend over, the neck muscles pull, the head goes forward. That then creates different areas of tension in the muscles and the joints and, say, the neck. And, for example, if the head goes too far forward because the shoulders are hurting and the back rounds, then the person's going to end up getting neck pain and even headaches. And so on down the body. And, of course, then the posture in the back is compromised, and they both lose their strength and lose the normal alignment, and that creates more problems than even just the fibromyalgia.
Now, I know you use a lot of different techniques, the manual techniques, the myofascial release, mm-hmm. the trigger point, craniosacral, even somato-emotional release, and massage therapy. Mm-hmm. Do you want to highlight some of these? Because I think that's why you achieve such an excellent success. You've got a combination of therapies to use on the patients.
Right. So when I work with a patient, after finding out all that, I'll have them get on the table, and we start probably doing palpation and hands-on and finding where their points are and what is tight. People don't seem to understand what fascia is or how the whole role of the myofascial tissue is involved. And essentially, it's like a T-shirt around the muscles, and it attaches all through the body. And when there's inflammation, such as there is in fibromyalgia or tight muscles, the fascia literally gets twisted, and then that twists the muscle inside it. And so the whole line of the muscle from beginning to end, and then even the other muscle groups that it works in concert with, are then being pulled on and twisted, just as if you took a sheet and it got all twisted and wrinkled up. You'd have to smooth out all the corners to get it smoothed out. You can't just work on just one trigger point or just one painful area. And that's what I think about when I work with a person, that I look at how their painful points, tight points are restricting all of their movement, not just in one area.
You've said that very well. That's a good analogy. I think that's the best one I've heard. And I wanted to comment, Dr. Rothenberg, you mentioned about, I guess, the diagnosis coming into its own. I have been in alternative medicine practices for about 30 years, and I remember the days when there was no such thing as fibromyalgia and how difficult it was for people to get their problems recognized and to get appropriate treatments.
Right.
So that's been quite a struggle, and I know you're familiar with it. What else do you have to share with us about treating fibromyalgia patients and the complexities of the condition?
Well, thank you for that. It really isn't as simple as just one thing. This is one of the critical areas where the medical doctor, rheumatologist, the physical therapist who's skilled in myofascial pain, nutritionists, all have to work together. Because if I give the appropriate medicines to reduce the pain for fibromyalgia, but they have anterior head position and temporomandibular joint dysfunction, which is one of the most common problems in fibromyalgia, I could give them all the pain medicine in the world. They're not going to improve unless May or somebody sees them and helps with that. If they have myofascial pain from nutritional deficiencies, we can give them all the pain medicine. They're still going to be horribly painful. So it's one of those fields that really requires very close cooperation between a medical doctor and a physical therapist and other people in allied fields. One of the things that is critical between working with May and myself is that if she finds that the patient's in too much pain to do the things that she's doing, she can contact me and we can have an interaction. And all too often, you know, that type of, you know, really good relationship between a physical therapist and the rheumatologist isn't that easy, and the patient suffers. And so It's a multi-system disease with multi-modality therapies.
And I think that's the secret. I know that it's easy to find, to determine that maybe a patient needs a particular technique, but then which practitioner who can do that technique. So the ability for you all to integrate is certainly a big advantage to the patient.
Right. And the physical trainers with their no pain, no gain philosophy doesn't work with fibromyalgia patients.
Oh.
And all too often our patients get injured.
Yes.
You know, with an exercise program, and then they are already deconditioned, and it just goes downhill from there.
Yes. I'm glad you said that. That's an important point. These patients take a long time to get well, and I think that's another aspect, that it's not immediate. And I think you all and the patients, both of you and the patients, have that understanding, but there are a lot of health professionals that like this idea of let's just take a medicine and you're going to be better right away. That's not the case, is it, with fibromyalgia?
No, it isn't.
No, it isn't. There have been studies that show that manual massage therapies really do help people with fibromyalgia both have better sleep patterns and decrease their pain, but it does have to be consistent, and it's a lot longer, over a longer period of time that they have to come, and they have to be consistent. And the other thing that we talked about is, you know, some people are actually doing better when they can handle some of the deeper myofascial release work. People who come in and they're in a bad shape, they can't handle sometimes hardly more than a light touch. And that's where you need some of the other techniques, such as cranial sacral therapy, which can be very gentle and light. And that purpose there is more to soothe and calm down the nervous system, just calm the whole person down. Then you go from there to trying to get a person to exercise. And it has to be so gentle but consistent. And that's where really, you know, people, if they start feeling better, they want to go right back into what they used to do. And it has to be step by step and with patience and care and looking out, monitoring every part of their program to make sure that
they brought up a good point that these people are under a lot of stress. And they're usually type A's. And a lot of what we do initially is to really calm them down. Sometimes they need work accommodation. If they're working 60 hours a week, it's going to be hard for them to get well under any circumstances. And so I liked what May just said about calming the patient down, getting a little bit of control, getting their sleep under control, getting them more comfortable so that they can start a conditioning program, and then that's the beginning of a successful treatment.
Yes, and I'm glad you emphasized this, because the patient really gets into that conundrum where they have to make a lifestyle change, or the lifestyle they're living is going to force them into change, and they can cascade into the combination of fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome and not be very functional. We see a lot of that. From a nutritional point of view, in some of the offices that I've been partners in, we've used nutrition with our fibromyalgia patients and coordinating with their rheumatologists and physical therapists, etc. And my favorite one is magnesium, and we've used it intravenously because it will relax those muscles pretty quickly and can make it easier. I like magnesium orally and taurine, because taurine helps integrate the magnesium into the cells. It's also friendly to GABA, the neurotransmitter GABA, and we've used GABA especially when anxiety's present. Of course, we don't if they're on a medication that works on GABA, or we coordinate with the prescribing physician. CoQ10 and carnitine with B vitamins, especially B2, B6, B12, and folic, helps with core energy metabolism. My analogy for these patients is they're suffocating. They're suffocating from oxygen in the tissues. And then, of course, vitamin D, which you mentioned, Dr. Rothenberg, and zinc. And a lot of people are not aware how important zinc is, because zinc is a limiting factor in amino acid utilization. And if we want to get nutrients into the cells, in the muscle tissues, zinc is critical for the amino acid utilization. I also love quercetin, an anti-inflammatory bioflavonoid. It's just a powerful anti-inflammatory. It's also anti-allergy, but it's very easy to take and has a nice effect. So I'm going to take a brief break and remind our listeners that they're listening to The Essentials of Healthy Living. We are talking with Mae Kessler and Dr. Russell Rothenberg, and we're talking about fibromyalgia. They are both local. We'll talk to you about how you can get in touch with them in our final segment. Please stay with us. We will be right back. Hello, listeners. Welcome back. I'm glad you're joining us for The Essentials of Healthy Living, sponsored by Village Green Apothecary. I'm Dana Lake, and I've been your host for today. And I want to remind you that we're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. to talk about your health and your lifestyle. And today, we've been talking with Dr. Russell Rothenberg, if you're joining us just for this portion, and Mae Kessler. And we've been talking about the very debilitating condition with muscle pain and fatigue, and it takes a long time to get rid of. It's called fibromyalgia, and we've been talking about the medicinal treatments, the physical therapy treatments, nutritional treatments. So welcome back to the show.
And
Dr. Rothenberg, did you have some other tidbits, some important information? I like our listeners to come away from a program with something they can do for themselves and a way they can be aware of their own health.
Yes, Dana, you said something just a couple minutes ago which got me thinking. You were talking about the tissues actually suffocating in your experience treating this condition, and that's actually true because when they do biopsies of the very tight myofascial muscles in fibromyalgia, there's a lack of oxygen, and good blood flow can, along with good nutrition, can actually help those tissues. So why do we send people for physical therapy? Why do we just give them? Why don't we just give them pain medicine? It's because we're trying to open up the tissues and get the blood flow into the areas, get the posture correct, get the patients reconditioned. And if they can't do this on their own, medicine is critical to that. And if a patient hits a flare, which we call a fibromyalgia crisis or a fibro flare, acute medication to get through that is critical. So working with a doctor who understands fibromyalgia and working with a team that understands fibromyalgia will get the patient functional much faster and prevent the overwhelming pain flares that can cripple and disable people.
Well, what I like about your approach is that you're not just suppressing symptoms.
Right.
You're trying to get to the core.
Yeah.
But symptom suppression is very important when people are in pain and can't move.
They have to be functional. They have to be able to sleep. And as a matter of fact, I assess function every time I see a patient to make sure that they're trying to accomplish what they can and that the treatments we're using are moving towards improved function.
Excellent. Excellent. What advice do you have for patients? Is this something people can avoid? Do you see precursor events? What kind of person, you said type A people are more prone to it. What kind of symptoms can we look at as patients and say, oops, I'm heading in that direction?
Do you think I can answer that or respond to that?
Sure.
I mentioned that at the very end of one of the last segments, where Dr. Rothenberg had given grand rounds, and one of the points I remember him talking about, and it's something I feel very passionate about as a physical therapist, which is that when people get injured, they often go to a doctor, and the doctor does something, gives them something, and just says, let's wait and see. And they wait and see, and the medicine doesn't work, and they go back and they try a different medicine, and then they wait and see. And what happens is that then the person's in pain for more than 3 months, and as I recall, Dr. Rothenberg, you said that's the time when fibromyalgia starts to kick in. Maybe the body's stress level just can't handle it anymore.
Exactly. There is a point where a chronic injury or a surgery that doesn't heal properly, if it goes more than 3 months, and probably this is a great take-home message for the patients, it develops changes in the brain called central sensitization, where the patient's tolerance to pain dramatically decreases, and suddenly things that never hurt you start hurting you.
Mm.
So it is critical, if something is very painful, that within a three-month period, you have an opening, you know, to see someone like May or whatever is needed to get the type of help so it doesn't go on to a fibromyalgia condition.
So is it a generalizing of pain that happens in the body? It just overreacts?
Yes. The localized pain becomes central in the brain and overwhelms the brain to the point that the neurochemical transmitters in the brain, the serotonins and norepinephrines, get depleted. The accesses between the adrenal axis and the brain's neurochemicals gets out of whack, and this can be prevented by aggressive intervention. And all too often, a person, you know, who just had knee surgery or whatever, gets some pain medicines, doesn't go through the proper rehab program, and develops a chronic condition. And those patients, especially if they're genetically at risk for fibromyalgia, get it.
I think especially patients who have, say they have an injury and they're under incredible stress, whether it's at home or at work. That's another type of patient that I think we end up seeing, because their stress levels are just higher than they should be to begin with, and then the final thing is they also get physically injured.
And the last thing May was talking about, and I was talking about, were the loose-jointed patients, the hypersensible patients that can try and stretch, but they're going to injure themselves. Or the athlete who gets injured and can't exercise and gets, you know, a lack of endorphins and starts feeling miserable. Those are warning signs. You better get help soon. And seeing someone, you know, like May and myself is the way to go. And my office manager, Connie, is always very, very nice and able to try and get people in if they have acute problems.
Well, the contact number, I just want to remind people of, for Dr. Rothenberg, is 301-571-2273. And for May, it's 301-602-3551.
That's right.
So you're local, and you can help people a lot. I know that I've been very aware of this since I've been in this field so long, and I had a whiplash injury, and immediately had intravenous magnesium, went to the massage therapist, physical therapist, chiropractor, and made sure that I paid attention to it. And as a result, it was as if it didn't happen.
And without that type of treatment, you may have gone on to fibromyalgia.
Oh, I've seen too many fibromyalgia patients and heard their histories. And I do want to emphasize the stress factor. When people are at work, they're stressed, they tighten up. And this is what fibromyalgia tends to be, these trigger points, these mini spasms that are just toxic. You know, you can't move blood through tissues when they're that tight.
Yeah, you can feel it. Right.
Sure can. Do you have any final tidbits? Because we're just about to finish this segment and this show.
I actually do. There's two things that I've become specialized in. One, besides this, which is TMJ. A lot of people have TMJ problems along with headaches and migraines, and they don't realize the connection.
Yes.
And I do extraoral and intraoral, meaning working inside the mouth, work to help them with that.
Well, I'm familiar. I'm a dental hygienist by training.
Oh, really? That's
and
right.
I'm glad you do that.
And the other thing I'm really excited about, I've decided to join a continuing ed track to become trained in women's health so that I can also treat the other symptoms of women's fibromyalgia problems, such as vulvodynia, pelvic pain and dysfunction, sacral and coccygeal pain, and menstrual pain issues. So I'll be ready to start doing that in just a couple of months.
What he's doing there is critical because the irritable bowel syndrome, the pelvic pain syndromes, are neurologic syndromes that just increase the fibromyalgia symptoms centrally. And there are very few physical therapists who know how to do the pelvic pain type of manual work that's needed. And I'm thrilled that May's going to learn this.
Yeah, this is extremely important. What is the distribution on fibromyalgia as far as male, female?
It's about, 80%, 70 to 80% a female to male. As you get older, above 65, it becomes more even.
Mm-hmm. But and the hormones are more even.
Yeah, the hormones are more even. We didn't really talk about hormonal changes, but when you reach menopause and you start getting these symptoms, that's a very good time to get in. And, there's so much negative about female hormones that if you need it for 1 year to get through a very difficult time, because, please, female hormones do more than night sweats. They are very important in terms of how you function, how your stress levels are, how you respond to pain. It's all been studied, a lot. And so short-term estrogen therapy appropriately given, whether it's, the traditional therapy or the non-traditional, like a plant estrogen, is a very good thing. The last thing I'd like to say is that my fibromyalgia patients or the tortoises in life, not the hares. And I try to preach that to my patients.
That is well said. Well, thank you both for being on the show.
Thank you, Dana.
And listeners, I think you got some excellent messages, and prevention's very important here. Just want to remind you to tune in every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for the Essentials of Healthy Living. And you can access the show through MyVillageGreen.com. Remember to take care of yourself and at least one other person, and go green. This is Dana Lake and Village Green wishing each and every one of you good health and a great day.